Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we look at the scriptures today, and we look at the unique responsibilities, not only that a father would have towards their children, but that children would have towards their father. I would ask, Lord, that you would give me the full attention of each and every one. I want to thank you for the fathers that are in church this morning. Lord, the very fact that they got up and they brought their families to church, that says something very wonderful about them. And Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, be a blessing through the preaching of the scriptures to each heart today. We do pray if there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, Lord, we can't be a good father, a good mother, a good anything, Lord, without you. And Lord, if we've never been saved, I would pray that today would be the day that someone here would realize their lost condition and want to receive Christ as their Savior. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I don't know how many of you grew up playing simple games. We kind of had in our house growing up a lot of board games. We did not have the technology that we have today, and so we weren't as distracted. We played more board-type games. When we went outside, we had to invent most of our games. One of the things that we had from time to time, someone would buy one of the kids for a Christmas or a birthday present until we scattered and lost all of them, and then they would maybe a few years later buy us some more, were a set of dominoes. How many of you know what a domino is? All right, I've got a set here. In fact, I just purchased them. They still have the plastic in them. I will tell you this. We've had dominoes in our house most of our growing up years. I do not know how to play dominoes. How many of you grew up with dominoes? But if you were forced to sit down and play a game of dominoes, you wouldn't, you're like me, I don't have a clue what the rules are. I would not know how to play dominoes, but I've been around a dominoes most of my life. You see, for a kid, we don't really want to play a game of dominoes. We don't really care about the rules. We don't know what the numbers mean. Dominoes really are just for, I'm going to probably need some help here. Dominoes are really for one purpose, if you're a boy, and that is to set them up and then push the first one and watch all the rest of them fall down. And there is a thousand different ways that you can do this, and the more dominoes that you have, the cooler it is. I mean, you can go with the basic, generic, beginner's single row of dominoes, but the thrill wears off pretty quick. You can then learn to take a single row and teach it to go into two rows, which you can go into two rows, and you can get some pretty wild things going. I imagine we have some boys right up here at the front. Nick, you know how to set up dominoes and do what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm still trying to get this open. Every time I think I got it open, there's another. You know, I guess the stealing of dominoes is just a huge concern in our society because they've shrink-wrapped it. And I think it has one of those things that go off when you go out the door, just in case you try to get... all right, Nick, I'm going to have you help me out here today. Oh, my goodness sake, you're kidding. I'm trying. I really am, bud. This is crazy. No wonder these things cost so... You got a knife? All right. No wonder these things cost so much. It's not the dominoes, it's the $5 worth of packaging materials that's with the dominoes. All right, I'm going to have you right there on the communion table. You just use your imagination, man, and just set me up a row of dominoes any way you want to do it. Now, you're going to have to do it quick, you know. Now, there's no pressure if you slip and don't set them up properly. There's just about 200 people watching you. I wouldn't worry about it, but... just set them up any way you want to there. Get about, yeah, huh, I know, that's what I would do too. That's all right, no problem. Here, let me get Brother Jack his knife back. But we didn't know how to play them. We didn't know what the numbers meant. We didn't know what the colors meant. But we did know that if you set them up in a certain fashion and you were to push the first one, that there was going to be a chain reaction. That's fine. It fell the right way. It only took one down. But get seven of them set up. Get seven of them set up. Do you have seven? Get one more. All right. You got it? Okay. Now step over the side so that they can see this. All right. Now, go ahead and push that first one and see what happens. Is that cool? Who cares what the rules are? Who cares that you can play a game? That's really the only thing I have ever known to do with dominoes is set them up. And thank you very much. You can be seated there. I'll let you afterwards take those home with you, okay, for helping me out there. And then you can go home and set up something a lot cooler than I let you set up here. But matter of fact, this has become such a part of our culture that we have a phrase that's used in our culture called a domino effect. And if somebody would say that phrase, almost everybody in here would go back in their minds to a little childhood game and understand exactly what that phrase means. I'm going to preach this morning on the domino effect of honoring your father. The domino effect of honoring your father. See, a lot of times in the Christian life, when we're presented with a Bible command or a Bible principle, sometimes we think that if I choose to obey this command, all I've done is one thing. But you haven't just done one thing. And let me say on the opposite side of the coin, sometimes we say, well, if I choose to disobey this command of the Bible, all I've done is really one thing that has caused really very minor damage maybe in my life or the life of another. However, I will promise you this is true. Look right up here. I promise you this is true. Almost every command in the Bible that we purposefully choose to disobey, it is like pushing over the first domino that then creates a domino effect. There's a whole chain reaction of results that happen when we disobey the Bible. You see, if you're living without Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're living either in ignorance or in defiance of the Word of God, you may not think it's a big deal that these handful of things that the Bible says not to do, you go ahead and choose to do. Well, preacher, it's only four or five things. But what you fail to understand is those four or five dominoes that you push over literally could cause a chain reaction of hundreds of dominoes. You see, sin has a larger effect than we think. But let me say this, righteousness also has a bigger effect than what we may think. And so I want to preach on the positive aspects of this today. I may go back and forth a little, but for the most part, I want to encourage our young people, and I want to encourage our teenagers, and I want to encourage our adults, all of you that still have living parents, to remember the importance of honoring your father. Because if you honor your father, it has a very positive domino effect in your life, in his life, in the life of your church, in the life of your nation. And if you choose not to, it has a very negative effect. You see, folks, when God penned this down as one of the principal foundational commandments of the Bible, he understood that this was a command that was going to have a domino effect upon society. And so listen very carefully as I preach on this subject, the domino effect of honoring your father. Number one, when you choose to honor your father, you receive, watch this, one of the things that comes as a result of the action is you receive the inner peace that only comes from obeying Almighty God. You receive the inner peace that only comes from obeying Almighty God. Now let me just say a word here. Preacher, you're talking about two things here, and I am going to focus on the aspect this morning of honoring your father or honoring your mother. But the verses that we read today says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So the Bible's telling us to obey, but also to honor. Now, children, teenagers, let me say this. If you're living underneath the roof of your parents, You know what? You have an obligation to obey your parents and honor your parents. Let me say this. People sometimes want to get in an argument about this and suggest that, well, at what point, at what time, preacher, does a child get to an age where they no longer have to obey their parents? Let me just give you a two-prong answer. Young people, first of all, get this in your heart, get this in your mind, get it strong. Maturity is not proven by rebelling against authority. Well, I'm mature enough, I don't have to obey my parents. If you were really mature, what you would be thinking is you would have reached a point of growth and wisdom where you realize how important it is to listen to the wisdom of your parents. But let me say this also to parents. A lot of times what we need to do on our end is this. We need to understand that the relationship of our children change as they become adults. I don't want to put my children, my grown children, in a position where they feel like they have to disobey me. You know, here's one of the things that we ought to do as parents. Hey, you know what? If you want to say, well, that verse applies to them no matter how old they are, I pray to God that you as a parent have enough wisdom not to command at times and in ways where you should not be commanding. That would solve a lot of it. Instead of the focus getting off of their obligations, let's put it on our obligation. I have daughters that are now married. They've left our home. Their responsibilities is to their husband. I would never want to put my married daughters in a situation where they felt like to obey their husband, they would have to disobey me, or to obey me, they would have to disobey their husband. And by the way, I am the one that would control that circumstance, control that situation by putting them in that situation. So let's get off a little bit. Come on, you that are older, use some sense. If your kids are to a certain age, then what you need to understand that there is a time where you need to stop putting them in a situation where they have to disobey you in order to obey either God or whether to obey the new authority that God has put in their life. I hope that helps you tonight. I feel like we need to balance that out a little bit. But let me say this again. When you honor your father, and I will say this, there is no time limitation. There is no age where you ought to ever grow to the point where you would do anything that would bring dishonor upon your mother or dishonor upon your father. There is no age on that. That is inarguable that there's no age on that. And listen, when you honor your father, when you obey any of the scriptures, one of the immediate rewards is that you have the inner peace that only comes with knowing that you've obeyed the word of God. Now let me just establish first of all this. The scripture is very, very plain, and it repeats over and over that it is a direct command of Almighty God for us to honor our father. The Ten Commandments, as they are listed in Exodus chapter 20, include this verse: honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. They are also, the Ten Commandments, listed in Deuteronomy 5:16. We read, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Jesus reaffirmed this multiple times in Matthew 15:4. For God, these are Christ's words, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. Jesus also said in Matthew 19:18, and Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. In Mark chapter 7, verse 9, Jesus again said, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And then in our text, Ephesians chapter 6, God used the Apostle Paul to write down these words: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Whenever an individual is presented with a clear command from scriptures, that individual is also faced then with a choice to obey that command or a choice to disobey that command. Are you listening to me, young people? Are you listening to me, teenagers? God told you you are to bring honor to your father. You are to obey your mother and your father. That is a clear command of God. You now have to make a choice. I mean, when you get home this afternoon, you have to make a choice about that. I'm talking about tomorrow when your dad wants you to do something you don't want to do. You have to make a choice about that. And you ought to choose to obey the scriptures and choose to obey and bring honor to your father. You say, well, preacher, why? Why when sometimes I don't want to do it? I'll tell you why. Because obedience has its own built-in reward. When you are faced with a choice as a Christian, and you are faced with a clear command, and you exercise your free will, and you obey the command of God, you're not going to tell me that God does not immediately reward you with a peace in your heart that you have done the right thing. You know, God has given mankind something called a conscience. You can say, well, you know what, I don't listen to my mom, and I don't listen to my dad, and you may even want to get braggadocious about it. And for a while you may even think that, you know what, there's times they think I obey them but I don't obey them, and there may be a real short-term feeling of smugness and satisfaction because you got away with something. But wait a minute, God put inside of every man a conscience, and it won't be very long that when you get away from that moment, that soon that smugness evaporates, and inside you have to live with the guilt of knowing that you just disobeyed not only your mom, not only your dad, but you disobeyed the Holy Scriptures and you disobeyed a holy God. And so let me say this, when you obey the Bible, honor thy father, and you push that domino and said, I am going to honor my father, there's a whole domino effect that begins to happen. And the first thing that happens is there's a peace that comes into your... Hey, you know, there's a reason some of you can't sleep very well. There's a reason some of you teenagers walk around shifty-eyed and nervous all the time. I'm going to tell you something. Guilt has more of an effect, a long-term effect on your body, even your physical body, than most people can measure and most people understand. You know, it's wonderful just to be able to walk through life knowing that you're right with God, and you're right with mom, and you're right with dad, and you're right with everybody. And you know what? You're not plagued with guilt, and you're not worried about who's going to find out what. Listen, doing right has its own reward. Now, some enticer is going to come to you and say, oh, you know what? You obey your parents and you do everything that they say, but you don't know what you're missing out on. You know what? If you would just go ahead and do your own thing, you'd get this and you'd get this. And let me tell you what else you'd get. You'd get a conscience that is beginning to go through the searing process. And you know what? That's a dangerous road to go through. You know what? I'd rather as a young person be able to look my mom and dad square in the eye with a pure heart and have a tough time trying to talk to them, a tough time trying to carry on a conversation with them, having a hard time just looking my dad in the eye and shaking his hand or giving my mom a hug without feeling like down deep that I'm some kind of traitor. You see the domino effect of honor. Let me give you the next domino, this domino effect of honoring your father. Number one, when you honor your father, you receive the inner peace that only comes with obeying the scriptures. Number two, when you honor your father, you secure from God blessings and longevity. Now it says right here in our text verse, Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Isn't that interesting? The command to honor your father and mother is labeled in the scriptures as the first commandment with promise. What does this mean? What it means is if you obey this command, God makes a promise to you to reward you in a meaningful and long-term way. Now we see what the promise is in verse 3. Two-pronged, that it may be well with thee. That's number one. And that thou mayest live long on the earth. Happiness and long life and happiness is one of the benefits of just saying, as a boy, as a young man, I am going to obey my father, and I am going to honor my father. I am not going to disrespect him. I am going to honor him, whether he is whether I am in my mother and father's presence or whether I'm away from them. I'm not going to make any decisions. Nothing's going to come out of my mouth that it would any way bring dishonor to my family's name or dishonor to my father. Now, when you make that decision and you make that a Bible principle in your life and you live it out, God looks down from heaven and says, you know what? And by the way, isn't it God that controls all things? Isn't it God that balances the books in the end? Isn't it God that pulls the strings, that can open the windows of heaven or rebuke the devourer? Are you listening to me? Please get this. Everyone says, the culture claims that they want happiness. The culture claims they want long life. And yet they trample over the one commandment that comes with a promise for both of these things. Mark the life of those who are foolish enough to dishonor their parent. Oh, but Brother Jerry, I know a friend in school, and you know what? He calls his parents horrible names, and he smarts off to them, and he disobeys them, and he sneaks out the window when they think that when they tell him to go to the room, he sneaks out the window. And if they've told him not to smoke, but he smokes anyway. And they told him not to hang around a certain person, but he's found out a way to still hang. You go ahead. They may seem like they're getting by with it, but I promise you, you watch that person's life. Their life will soon become absent of anything that resembles true joy and true happiness. Listen, if the rebels had all the answers and the rebels had the right formula, how come the rebels always have the most distraught look on their face of unhappiness of any single person in the world? Listen, I've just spent too much time in my life preaching to people. And you know, I'm just telling you, I look out over a congregation and I see people that every day of their life get up, and I'm not saying they're perfect, but you know what? They've decided they're going to live by the principles of the Bible, and you know what? They come to church and they sit there and they sing and they smile and they have the joy of the Lord and they had a happy look on their face. Then I've always got the handful that, you know what, all of a sudden they just don't want to obey authority and they don't want to follow the rules, and they sit back with the most sorriest scowl and most miserable looking a creation of God that's wandering around. Hey, listen, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of happiness, and you're robbing yourself of long life. I don't know how many of you have read his biography, but Oliver B. Green wrote a biography called From Disgrace to Grace. And he lived a rebellious childhood and a rebellious teenage years and broke his mom and dad's heart over and over and over again. And even later on in his adult life, when he got saved and when he was called to preach and when he gave his life to God, he would often say from the pulpit that he knew that he would not live a long life because of the rebellion that he showed in his younger years towards his mother and towards his father. And by the way, he promised and proved to be a prophet because he did live a shortened life and had a shortened ministry because of his disobedience and his rebellion in his younger years towards his mother and his father. So that's part of the domino effect. Number three, what's the third domino, preacher? When you honor your father, you strengthen your church. When you honor your father, you strengthen your church. Go to Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 21. I'm going to look at what many would consider a very controversial portion of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 21. Please listen very carefully to what I'm going to say about this, because I believe with all of my heart that there is definitely something that we can learn from this portion of Scripture. Deuteronomy 21, verse number 18. How many of you believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 says this: if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Now listen, and let me put these verses in context. When God brought Israel out of Egypt and established them a nation unto himself, he didn't say to a bunch of men like our country was founded, now write down a constitution and write down some rules and write down some regulations and write down some governing principles. No, God called Moses to the top of Mount Sinai and he handed him the law of Israel. This was the law in which this newfound nation was to follow and conduct themselves. So these rules did not come from man or a committee. They came from Almighty God. And he laid down some principles for this new founded nation. And this is one of the principles. This is one of the laws. Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gates of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Say, preacher, do you think we ought to have that law in the United States of America? Listen carefully what I'm going to say here. I will say this. When God created a nation, and when God wrote the laws and rules of a nation, he put that in there. Now, I am not suggesting, parents, some of you are smiling, you're thinking, this is the answer to solving all of my problems. I'm not suggesting that in this time, and this day, and in this culture, that we should have in our church the parents that are struggling with some of their young people and bring them forth and stone them. But let me do say this. If there's ever a portion of Scripture in the Bible that tells us what God thinks of rebellion, this portion of Scripture ought to tell you. And the seriousness of it. And God's insistence that it be immediately eliminated from the congregation. See, God wanted to warn Israel of a principle. An unpunished, rebellious child, he just does not hurt himself. He infects a community like a cancer. He or she will encourage others to rebel, whether by lip or by life, either by voice or by example. A rebellious child undermines the pinnings of the entire family structure, of the entire church body. A church is only as strong as the average strength of its family. And Satan knows this. He hates the local assembly, so he will work diligently to attack the family structure. Now, young man, I want you to listen to me. Young lady, I want you to listen to me. Some of you that are rebellious against your parents, I mean, you have right now an ungodly and unbiblical attitude and relationship with your father. You are not just hurting your family. You are not just hurting yourself. You are hurting Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you will stand before God and answer for that one of these days. This is not a joke. This is not something to laugh at. This is not some little thing to say, oh, well, you know, they all got baloney. You have a responsibility as a young man to obey and honor your father. And obey and honor your mother. No exceptions. No excuses. I mean, listen, no, there's not plan B. There's not plan C. There's not plan D here. Step up to the plate. If you want to be a man, then be a man and honor your father and honor your mother. Because, listen, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting the entire assembly of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, did you hear what I said? Satan knows that the strength of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is only as strong as the strength of the average strength of its family. That's why, by the way, I'm not preaching on this, but husbands and wives, that's why Satan will constantly try to attack your marriage relationship. That's why that the father-child relationship is under attack in this culture. That's why the mother-child relationship is on attack. Under attack in this culture. You say, preacher, why is Satan after the families of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Because if he can reconstruct the average family to reflect the culture instead of the Bible, he will reconstruct and pervert the entire structure of the local assembly. We ought to just write that down right there. Now, fathers, that's why we have to walk guard around our family unit. Let me say this, young people, you do get to a certain point in age where you know what, you get some age on you and you get some maturity on you. That is not a time to try to prove that you're your own man or own woman by disobeying and disrespecting your mother and your father. All you're proving is, all you're proving is that you are a punk. All you're proving is that you do not have any hesitancy to spit and trample right on the scriptures. And you know what? I take offense to that. Now, why don't you help the local assembly? Why don't you decide that this is as good a time as any just to get right with God in this area? And you're never going to prove manhood. You're never going to prove maturity by refusing to listen to your parents. You prove it by having the wisdom to listen to your mom and listen to your dad. A domino effect. Well, all I'm going to do is I'm just disobeying or disrespecting my dad. It doesn't hurt anything. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, you've got guilt you've got to live with. Are you listening to me? Wait a minute. The dominoes start falling. Are you getting this? All of a sudden, God starts to remove from you the happiness and the well-being. God starts limiting and literally shaving off at the end of your life, days and years. You better pay attention to this. This is not a little thing. Not only that, you begin to affect the strength of the local assembly. Let me give you this. Boy, it goes bigger than this. When you honor your father, you not only strengthen your church, number four, you strengthen your nation. You strengthen your nation. Please listen to me. Go to the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And if you will, look at the very last chapter of the book of Malachi, and we'll read the last two verses of the very last chapter. Brother Jerry, what in the world has gone wrong with America? I'll tell you what's gone wrong with America. We've gone away from the scriptural principles of how a family is to be structured. Notice what it says in Malachi chapter number 4 and verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Watch this. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How many of you believe that right now America's living under the curse of Almighty God? I didn't say we're in danger of one day falling underneath the curse. I'm saying right now we're living underneath the curse of Almighty God. And let me tell you one of the reasons. I'm just telling you one of the reasons this morning about that. But it's a Bible reason. It's right here in the scripture. And that's this. We have a generation that has been raised up. They have been defiled by the philosophies that have been taught on the TV sets and on these silly, ridiculous, wicked sitcoms that they sit and watch. They have been defiled by the words and the music of a rebellious generation that teaches them and trains them and pats them on the head for being a rebel. Listen to me very carefully. America's foundation is being destroyed. Its future judgment is secured when a generation decides to glorify rebellion and purposely choose to live a life that dishonors their godly father and dishonors their godly mother. You just helped write the obituary of a nation. Amen. Amen. Of a nation. Yes, sir, right. What I'm saying is, I want to say very plain here. Every rebellious teenager is an unpatriotic citizen of the United States of America. And every obedient young man and obedient young lady is a patriotic citizen of the United States of America. Because just as rebellion brings punishment, obedience brings blessing. And you know what? When God looks down and sees a generation that chooses, and you do have a free will, and you can make a choice in this, and they choose to say, you know what? I don't care what everybody else in town's doing. I don't care what everybody else in school's doing. I don't care how they talk to their mom and dad. Listen, I'm going to obey the Bible. I'm going to treat my mom with respect. I'm going to treat my father with regard. I'm going to live in such a way where I'm faultless in this matter, and I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to honor them with all that I say and that all that I do, whether or not I'm in their presence or not in their presence. Solomon was allowed to look through the telescope of prophecy. He described the last generation of the last days with these words in Proverbs chapter 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are filled up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Folks, look around. This is that generation. But let me say this to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church young people. You know what? We have to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And I want to congratulate, I mean this. Boy, someone needs to get up and just clap and applaud and give some of these kids that deserve an attaboy and attaboy, because I watch all over this church and there is young person after young person after young person that has purposely decided they're going to have a good relationship with their mom and dad. They are obedient children and obedient teenagers. And you know what? You are helping to secure the blessing of God upon a church and upon a nation, and you deserve congratulations. You can push over that dynamo of I'm going to honor my father, and you know what? A bunch of positive things are going to happen. You can push over that domino of I'm not going to honor or obey my father, and I promise you the domino effect will still happen, but it'll happen in a very negative way in your life and in your environment. Are you getting this? The Apostle Paul was picked up like a pen and used by God to write the description of the last days. This, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Young people, look right up here. Look right up here. The most unpatriotic thing you can do is to dishonor your mom, dishonor your father. To purposely choose to live a life that dishonors your father is to purposely choose, and to purposely choose to bring your parents shame and regret places your country at risk. It's equally true and should be equally noted that when a child chooses to obey the word of God and live a life true to the scriptures and true to their Christian upbringing, it brings great blessing to not only themselves, not only to their church, but it allows God to pour out the blessings upon the United States of America. Decide that you're going to be a patriot. Obey this verse. Let me give you the fifth domino. Number five, when you honor your father, you secure your future standing with your children. Better get this. When you honor your father, you secure your future standing with your children. Well, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you know what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, I don't even have any children. Well, God tarries and God doesn't kill you for your bullheadedness. You probably will one of these days. And you know what? You'll cry 1,000 buckets of tears one of these days, because you're going to want one of these days for your children to obey you. You're going to want one of these days for your children to honor their father and honor their mother. When you honor your father, let me tell you this, you secure your future standing with your children. Some of you young couples, you know what? You don't live in much fear when it comes to the rearing of your children. You know why? Because when you were in their place, I'm not saying you were perfect, but for the most part, you were obedient and you lived an honorable life that reflected well upon your parents. Let me give you some good news. You've got some good reaping ahead of you. Got some good reaping ahead of you. Others of you, I'm talking about you know-it-alls. I'm talking about you that just still to this day, you will not listen to this preacher. You will not listen to the Bible. You're going to do your own thing. You're spitting in the eye of God and your mom and dad every day of your life by the way you're living. Your time's coming. Your day's coming. You can blame everybody else in the world, but you know what? The prodigal never comes home until they come to themselves. Are you getting this? What I'm saying is this. You are either right now securing your future standing with your children in a positive way or a negative way, but a couple years of rebellion as a young person is not worth a lifetime of watching your children go to the devil because of your wickedness. What's the sixth domino? When you honor your father, you insulate yourself from future guilt and regret. Whether you believe it or not, James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I want to see if I can help you right here. I'd like to prepare some of you teenagers right now for something that you're probably going to face in the next 20, 30 years of your life. I want you to prepare you for the day that you're going to have to attend the funeral of your mother or the funeral of your father. Brother Joe, I've seen it and you have too. I've watched grown children that were able to come to the casket, stroke the hand or the arm of a parent that's gone on to be with God, reach down, weep tears, but sweet tears, kiss them on the cheek. Oh, I'm not saying they were perfect kids, but you know what? They didn't stand there that day with a bunch of guilt and a bunch of regret. But I've watched young people come halfway. I'm telling you, I'm talking about grown adults come halfway up an aisle, collapse on the ground, unable to even face the corpse of a mother that they know in their hearts they helped put in that casket early because of their wicked and rebellious life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to try to go ahead and plan that day now. I want that to be a good day. I want that to be a blessed day. I don't want to walk to a casket one of these days and look down at my father and know that my life brought him shame after shame after shame because of the decisions that I chose to make. Just because I decided that I could and I would. I don't want that kind of a funeral for my father. Are you listening to me, young people? Oh, it's not a big deal for me to dishonor them. Oh, it may not seem like it, but boy, the dominoes are going to keep falling. They're going to keep falling. They're going to keep falling. Are you getting this? Let me give you the last domino. When you honor your father, you lay the foundation for a proper relationship with Almighty God. You see, when one of the disciples came to Jesus one day in Luke chapter 11 and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. Well, we know the Lord's Prayer, so we know what's going to be said. But Jesus said to them this day, on that day, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I'm telling you, if you'd have been there that day, we don't understand this. But search the Old Testament scriptures. Where in the Old Testament was somebody given permission to call Jehovah God Father? So here comes a disciple to the Son of God and said, "Teach us to pray." And he said, "This is what I want you to pray. I want you to start out by speaking this greeting to God, our Father which art in heaven." And on that day you would have seen disciples look all over the place. "Well, wait, Jesus, we ask you to teach us to pray. We know that you can address him as Father." No, I'm teaching you how to pray. And guess what? From this day forward, you will be allowed to have a father, son, father, daughter, father, child relationship with Almighty God. Please listen to what I'm going to say, young people. But you know what? If you will not submit to your mom and dad, and you will not honor your parents, you are training yourself on how to wrongly treat your heavenly Father. Every once in a while I run into a young person who wants to tell me that they're a good Christian, wants to tell me that they're right with God. But I know that they're wrong with their mother. I know they're wrong with their father. And I'll say what preachers have said for generations, because it's true. There's not a young person in the world who can stand up and say, "I'm right with God," if you're not right with your daddy. "Rachel, you don't know my daddy. My daddy wasn't a Christian." So what? The Bible doesn't say honor your father if he's a Christian. He says honor your father. All right, there's some bad memories. All right, there's some negatives. But you know what? If you'd let yourself, you could go back and find some positives also. The honest truth is, if you refuse to treat your father with the honor that he deserves, then you know what? You are laying a faulty foundation for you to ever learn to have a proper... I mean, to this day, I think there's Christians that cannot pull it off. Your relationship with God Almighty stinks to this day, and you won't... Listen, God's trying to give you the answer this morning. The way you fix that is that you go back and fix something that you should have fixed a long time ago. Because if you won't get right with your mom and you won't get right with your dad, you're never going to be right with your God. Are you getting this? So here we are, the end of the message. Here's a line of seven dominoes. And the very first one is honor your father. And I pray that we have a whole group of young people that say, "You know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose to obey that Bible command. And all of these other benefits will come with it." And then over here, there's a seven dominoes, and the first one says, dishonor your father. Disobey your father. And if you choose to live that kind of a life, I promise you, it is going to have a domino effect in your life that will reach from here to the grave. Are you getting this? Let's decide on this Father's Day to obey the command to honor thy father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your blessing upon the fathers again. I could have preached a message to fathers about how to be a good father and a right father, but Lord, I know that on this particular Father's Day, you wanted me to address those of us that have a father. I pray for our young people, Lord, that they will not get caught up in this culture's blasphemous teachings concerning the ungodly and unnatural relationship that the average young person has with their mom and with their dad. God, help us to be different in that regard. I pray, Lord, that there would be young ladies that would bend their knee at an altar this morning and say, you know what, I'm going to treat my mom and my dad with a higher level of respect and honor than I've ever done in my life. I pray that there might be a few that would come forward in repentance and say, it's time for me to change in this area of my life. Some may rededicate to what they're already doing. Some may need to turn and begin to do. But I pray, dear God, that we would not just hand our Father a card, maybe a small gift, and then spend the rest of this year not giving Him exactly what you have commanded us to give Him. May we honor our Father.